With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran. Our worship begins on page 151 of the Lutheran hymnal. Our hymns this morning are hymns number 359, 392, 789, and 376. Pastor Dan Swingham's sermon is hymn sing. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. Morning, hymn number 359, Welcome to Lutheran Hymn.
Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. God's gracious peace and blessings be with you on this Christmas Eve day, as we have three services today and one tomorrow morning as well. We pray God's blessings as we continue to maintain our focus on Christ always, for he kept his focus on us in obedience to the Father as he gave his life as a ransom. 151 in the front of our hymnals. Again, page 151. Invite the congregation to please stand as we begin our worship. Remember your baptisms as we call upon and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us, Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn to Psalm 89 in the front of our hymnals. Psalm 89. And we'll join in reading. Join together. We'll speak the doxology at the end as well. Again, verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 89, we join in reading it together. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord, faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We turn to page 152, and we join in singing responsively the Kyrie. In peace let us pray to the sea, for the peace from above and for ourselves. Lord, have mercy. Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious. You may be seated. Continue with our readings from God's Word from 2 Samuel chapter 7. We read verses 1 through 11 and verse 6. When the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. People of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, here. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time you rest from all your enemies, moreover, the Lord declares to you that the and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And that ends our Old Testament lesson. Our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 16, we read verses 25 and 27. Paul concludes his letter to the Romans. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith
To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
And finally, we read verses 26 through 38. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, but she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That ends our gospel reading. We continue then as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We turn to the back inside cover of our hymnals, and we join in speaking together this faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue as we sing verses 1 and 3 of hymn number 392. Again, verses 1 and 3. Of hymn number 392, and we welcome the children forward for a message. How are you guys today? You doing all right? Are you excited? What's coming? Christmas is coming. It's been coming, it seems like, for months now. But today is the last day before Christmas, and so we are indeed excited. In fact, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention on your calendars, but we've been opening doors, and we've got a door for today. Today is the 24th, because tomorrow is the 25th. And so let's see what this door has in store for us. Aha! Take a look at that. You see what's in there? It's kind of hard to see. What do you guys see? Yeah? Well, let me get it over here so everybody can see it. Whoosh! Can I see that? He's so little. Can you imagine God was ever a little tiny baby? The one who created the universe, those stars out in space, the whole earth, those
big mountains and those massive oceans was a little tiny... Livy, I'm sorry, I didn't show you. My bad. You see the little baby in there? It's like your baby. Yeah, yeah. That he became... Just a second, Bailey. He became a little baby for you and for me. And so tonight, you guys are going to be up front here, and you're going to be singing, and you're going to be speaking, and you're going to be telling the people how much God loves them, because the greatest of all of these is love. And Jesus is the sign of God's love for all of us and for all the people who will be sitting in the pews. And so the passage goes like this: the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory. Jesus is indeed is the light of the world. And so when we end our service tonight, guess what we're going to do to these lights? We're going to turn them down. We're going to turn them off. And you guys are going to have, you're going to have fake candles because we don't trust you with fire. You blame the insurance company. It's not us. And they will have candles, and our whole church will be lit up by candlelight as a reminder to us that Jesus is the light of the world, who has come to save and to rescue all of His people. Let's go ahead and roll the dice and see what Bible passage we need to take a look at as well here. Oh, this doesn't actually happen until a couple more Sundays. But what do we have there? Not shepherds. We're close. We're close. Wise men. Yeah, the wise guys. Yes, they were kings. They were very smart. They were very intelligent. They knew all kinds of things, and they were studying the stars that God created, and they noticed one big bright star, and they wanted to see who this. The star was a marker of a king that was to be born. So let's find Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Let's fast forward real quick, kids, before I send you back. And I'll get to your question, Bailey. Just hang on. Do you guys remember what did Jesus? He grew up, he lived, he did miracles, he taught, he preached. And then what did he die on? A cross. That's right. And the end of your guys' program for tonight is about the tree, not just the Christmas tree, but about that tree, the tree that Jesus would die on. And there was a sign that was posted above him by Pontius Pilate. Do you guys remember what Pilate wrote on that sign? Yep. That's right. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Remember, the Pharisees went to Pilate and said, "Erase that. Say that he says he was the King of the Jews." And Pilate says, "What I have written, I have written." He was going all the way back to the wise men who said, "We're looking for the King of the Jews, the one who was born King of the Jews." And so we see it at the beginning of his life, and we see it at the end of his life. But kids, does Jesus stay dead? No. It's not the end of his life. It's the beginning of new life for him and for all of us. Praise God who loves us dearly as well. All right, Bailey, you had your hand up the whole time. You were patient. What were you going to say? What's that? Uh-huh. You're thinking of babies, aren't you? Because we're talking about Jesus as a baby, right? That in her tummy. That's right. You were God's gift to us, weren't you? And to your mom and dad and your grandma and grandpa and your whole family and to our church too. Yes. Awesome. Ah, yes, that's right. You got baptized. That's right. All right. Well, I've got pieces of candy for you guys. Let me get one to Olivia here. You guys can head back to your seats. Thank you for paying attention so much during all this Christmas season. I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight so that we can join in singing and in praying and praising God for all that He gives to us, especially Jesus, as we celebrate His birth. All right.
Today is our kind of new method of doing our hymn sings, and so hopefully Judy has selected a few songs out of the box back there. Judy, what would our first one be?
I picked three. And I guess if we have time, we might go to the fourth one. I'm cool with that.
She's cool with that. All right, I like
that. So the first one is 379.
379. Oh, come all ye faithful. Hymn number 379. And I don't think we're singing that one tonight. So let's sing all four verses of Oh, Come All Ye Faithful. Hymn number 379. To belong, to be part of a family, to be part of a community. Nobody likes to stick out. Nobody likes to be alone. But it happens now and again, doesn't it? The third verse in that hymn speaks of all the citizens of heaven singing praises to God, joining with those angels who sang, who put on a massive concert for those shepherds that night as they were gathered in the darkness, and suddenly light shone and an angel came to the shepherds and told them exactly what they would find in Bethlehem, born that night, a baby in a manger. Remember, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for the entire earth, that a Savior is born to you, Christ the Lord. You will find him wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then we're told in Scripture a whole host, heavenly host of angels lit up that nighttime sky and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth with whom God's favor rests." God stood out that night, but in a very common way. We go through all of this hassle of Christmas trees and Christmas lights, the poinsettias, the extra services, all of it for a baby. A baby. There's a word that I have to teach the confirmation students. It's Latin, I think. Incarnation. Incarnation. In, meaning to come into. Carne, if you've ever had nachos con queso, con salsa, con carne, means with meat. God comes into the flesh, into the meat. He bears our bones, he bears our skin, he bears our blood, all for a singular purpose: that God can show his love. He was born to shed that blood, to graciously pour it out, that you and I would no longer be alone, but we would be drawn into a community, a body of believers gathered around his word and his sacraments, being fed by our gracious God, being bound together as the hymn said, citizens. Citizens of a country, sure, the United States of America. Citizens of a state, Missouri. Citizens of a town, Sweet Springs or Concordia or Emma. But ultimately and eternally, citizens of heaven. Citizens who bow down and worship one God. And that one God who became man, took on flesh, that is the birth that we celebrate, but it gives us our eyes a path for what is to come. A path to the cross, but a path to his coming back to take us to be with him forever. Indeed, praise be to God, our gracious God. O come, all ye faithful, as you come into his courts with thanksgiving, may you rejoice in this day and always, for you are members of his kingdom, citizens of his nation. Amen. All right, another selection.
363, which is Silent Night.
Ah.
And they request that we sing verse 1 and 2 in German.
Whoa. Shall we give it a go? Yeah, let's do that. I'm very familiar with the German portion at the bottom of the page there. And so if you don't mind, whoever put that request in, that we sing that as the first verse, so the German at the very bottom there. And then let's go for verse 2 in German on the upper left-hand corner side. We will sing this hymn tonight, as is pretty traditional. So let's just sing those first two verses only in German. I will not preach in German, though. So, blessings on that. Let's sing first verse again at the bottom, second verse in German up at the top.
Oh,
I remember having to memorize that first verse in German for grade school for our Christmas program. And I guess as a kid, you just assume people know a lot of stuff. And so you're trying to learn this, and you say the words, and they sound so funny, so strange, so foreign. A couple Sundays ago, we had a guest from South Africa. Were you all nervous when he spoke in Zulu to begin his sermon, and you thought, I'm never going to understand this? An amazing thing happened at the Tower of Babel. The people on earth had come together. They were united. They were citizens, as we just spoke of. They had gathered together to build a great city with walls around it to protect them and a tower that would go up to the heavens, as the text says. They forgot God's word. What was God's word to Noah? What was God's word to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill up the earth. I've created it for you to fill up. Do that. Man assembled himself nearby, close, unwilling to go outside of those walls, willing to have all that they needed right there. They didn't have to go into harm's way at all. And it reminds us of 9/11. So we saw all kinds of people running away from the terror and the horror. We saw brave firemen and paramedics, some citizens running towards where the terror was. They were gathered in their walled city. They were building that tower, and God looked down and said, no, 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 this isn't what I determined to have to happen. I need my people, the people that I've created, to spread out and to fill up this massive place that I've created for them so that they can enjoy all the different parts of this world. Remember what he did? He confused their language. As much as maybe some of you could understand that German that we just sang, other than when you were looking back and forth at the English to see how it paired up, it was completely foreign to your ears. And that's what happened. Their tongues were changed. The languages were disassembled. And soon they began ending their project of trying to build this massive city and this big tower. And they started going their separate ways. And that's when we get difference. That DNA that is inside of you and I that makes us all the same, yet all different from one another. Nobody on this earth ever has or will, or presently does, have the same fingerprints as you do. Will never be exactly who you are. You are unique as each of those snowflakes is unique outside. God loves difference. He loves variety. And so what if we have different languages? We still need to do the work of proclaiming Christ Jesus. And sometimes we can speak the same language but not understand each other. But Jesus is the great unifier. As you heard from Pastor Twala when he was here, he proclaimed Christ Jesus to you. He did it as he sang that beautiful song in Zulu, "Now Thank We All Our God." I'm glad the tune was the same, because otherwise I wouldn't have known what he was singing. It's an awesome and amazing thing how God's word can bring us together, to unite us, that though we are different from one another, that our gracious God gives us a uniting point. Have you ever heard the term the crux of the matter? It comes from this, the cross of the matter, the intersecting point, the place in which two things come together, where Christ's body and blood come together with bread and wine, where God's grace and mercy and the Holy Spirit combined with simple water come together and meet God's creation. This place, an intersection for your lives at this time and at this place, to come together to hear God's word, to sing God's word, and to be united in the one promise that Jesus Christ came, saw, and he conquered for you and for me. Indeed, may we have a silent night as we continue to reflect on God's grace and on his mercy in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, Judy. Holy God, we praise thy name. All right. Let's sing verses 1 and 2 of hymn number 940, Holy God, we praise thy name. Verses 1 and 2. Got to be in Seattle this past week, or while we were gone. And while we were there, go figure, it was cloudy and rainy pretty much the entire time. And we would be out walking with my uncle, and my uncle would point, and he would say, "Yeah, Mount Rainier is right over there." And we'd say, "Really? We don't see it." And he'd point in this direction and say, "And the Olympic Mountains, the Olympia Mountains are over there." We'd look and say, "Really?" We went to the visitor center, the lower visitor center for Mount St. Helens. And we got to the end of the little museum, or whatever you want to call it, that you go through. And there's a big glass window. And we looked out that window. And I pulled the kids over and I said, "Mount St. Helens is over there." And they looked at me and said, "Really?" Think of clouds. You've flown, those of you who have flown in an airplane, the clouds have virtually nothing to them, right? You go right through them. They're as thick as fog. If you've seen fog, it's the same thing as a cloud, really. There's nothing to it at all. Yet it can do this amazing task, the most amazing miracle, or well, magic trick, if you will. David Copperfield would be jealous of what a cloud can do. It can cover an entire massive mountain like Mount Rainier so that you can't see it at all. As we got in the car and headed to the airport to leave, we were driving along, and I figured maybe we'd see it because it finally had cleared off. And there it was. Mount Rainier. If you've ever been to Seattle and seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It just hangs in the horizon. So massive, so mighty, snow covered. It's a baby volcano waiting to erupt. Goodbye, Seattle. But there it was in all of its massive and amazing glory. The angels. We talk about the angels a lot during Christmas. And then we kind of forget about them till we get to Easter. And then it's the angel that says, "Why are you looking for him? He's not here. He's risen." The angels are kind of like the clouds. They can do amazing things. They show up. They appear and disappear. They come before people and they say, "Don't be afraid." There's a reason for that. Professors at the seminary always said, if you've seen an angel, you know because your pants are wet after you see them. Because they are massive, mighty, amazing creatures created
to be beings of God who serve God's purposes, who are guarding and protecting you and I, his people. But in the end, they're like those clouds. They're just there for a time being until that wind comes and blows them away and you can see the majesty of God. The might and majesty of God found in baptism and in the Lord's Supper, found in God's word, found in a little baby who will be born and laid in a manger. Majesty of God is like seeing that mountain, of beholding what God can do with us poor, miserable sinners. We sing about angels, but angels sing about God. May you and I join our voices with that heavenly chorus as all citizens of God praise him, the one who demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, and you guessed it, Christ Jesus died for us. May your hearts be lifted today and always, that you live as his people, as he rains down his love upon you, to set you free from sin, death, Satan, and hell, that you and I may be united with him always and forever in his kingdom that is without end. Merry Christmas to you all. God's blessings as we continue to come into his house today and tomorrow, that we indeed may receive the gifts that he has left for us under a tree, his blood shed for us for the forgiveness of our sin. God's gracious peace and blessings be with you, his people. Amen. Tell you what, Judy, did you have a fourth one selected? Okay, we'll just sing it. I won't talk, I promise. I didn't get to preach for two services, so I'm bursting at the seams here. 338, and they're like, oh, we'll just sing these two verses and close it off. Sounds good, thank you. 338. So you kind of saw how our hymn sing went, so we'll continue to do that each fourth Sunday of the month. We'll continue then as we receive our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, as we give return to the Lord just a small portion of which he has blessed us with. We join in singing hymn number 789 as we receive our offerings. Please fill out those red friendship registers that are in our pews as well. Thank you.
please stand for our prayers this morning? Great and almighty Father in heaven, we do come before you as citizens of your kingdom. For we are in this world, but we are not of this world. At least that's what we pray. We recognize, though, gracious Father, it's so easy to get caught up into sin. We come before you as a people who are indeed broken, people who are battered, a people who need the salve of your love, your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. And so as we confessed our sin this morning, we brought before you all that we are and all that we have done in thought, word, and deed, recognizing that because we are broken, we can only be beggars, beggars of your grace and your mercy. And so we cry out, Father, forgive us. For indeed, oftentimes we don't even know what we are doing. And so, eternal Father in heaven, you have declared to us, your children, that though your sins are as red as scarlet, I make them as white as snow. We thank you for sending your Son, whose birth we soon celebrate. Bless us as we come together into your house, perhaps several times today and again tomorrow, that we may come to this place of familiarity and hear things that are familiar to us and to our ears, gifts that are given over and over and over again, that we may sing your praise and rejoice, that we have opportunity to be served by you and in turn to serve one another and thereby serve you. Gracious Father, bless our children tonight as they lead us in the service. Bless them in their voices. Bless them in their smiles and in their love for you. That we may join together as a family of all kinds of generations mixed together, bound together in the intersection of God and man. Lord, then, that you would be and abide with those who are lonely today, those who are alone at home, those who are alone in the hospital, those who are alone in the nursing homes or various care centers. We pray, O Lord, that they would come to know that they are never alone. For even when we are alone, when we think we have gotten away from you, you promise always to be there, never to leave us, never to depart from us, never to forsake us. For you forsook your Son at the cross that we may not be forsaken by you, but bound together in you and in your family. Gracious Father, then heal the hearts and minds of those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Such a difficulty during the holiday seasons. We pray, O Lord, that you would provide calm and peace. Help us focus on our life eternal with you. Lord, be with those who are fighting disease or illness. Be with those who are broken, who are ashamed. Be with those who are struggling with addictions, who cannot cast off these curses, O Lord, that you would find a way and free them, that they may be your people forever. Lord, then we lift up to you, especially this day, Robert, and thank and praise you for a successful knee surgery for him, and pray that you would continue to be with him in his recovery. Be with Pat Duffy, who is continuing to have struggles. Lord, if it would be your will to free her from pain and to be with her as she awaits another back surgery. Lord, that you would be with Mickey Hemme, who is somewhat far away from us, but still a member of our body. We lift her up to you. Be with Jason as he continues to struggle with cancer. Pray, Lord, that you would bless him and his family, that you would strengthen his faith through this process. Pray, Lord, that you would accomplish a miracle and rid his body of that cancer, if it be your will. Lord, that you would be with LaWanda and Lana as they are both in the hospital, that you would watch over them and bring strength and encouragement to them and to their bodies, that you would heal them in due time. Pray, O Lord, that in the midst of the struggle, you would strengthen faith. Be with Carol and with April and Daniel. Lord, then, that you would also watch over those who are listed in our bulletins, those who are in the need of care and healing. We would lift up to you, especially Betty, Steve Vickery's mom, who broke her shoulder. Pray, O Lord, that you would heal her body and restore her in strength. Be with those in nursing home care, with Sylvia and Millie and Martha Jane, with Dorothy and Leland. Watch over these and those also in those places. Be with those who render care as well. We lift up to you the president of our synod, President Harrison, and president of our district, President Hagen. We thank and praise you for providing an under-shepherd for St. Paul's and Concordia. We rejoice in this good news and rejoice with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus there. Pray, O Lord, that you would bless him in his transitions, in his move, and bless them as they become united as under-shepherd and as flock. Lord, then, that you would be with those in the mission field, be with Pastor Twala as well as he is home, back at home. We rejoice in the opportunity for him to be here at this place and pray continued blessings upon him and his congregation there in Shangweni. Be also with our seminarian, Garrett. And Lord, we lift up to you Ryan and Kathleen as they are soon to be united in marriage. We rejoice in this union that you have created and pray, O Lord, that you would bless family and friends as they gather together to celebrate with Kathleen and Ryan. And bless this marriage and this life together, that it may always be in you. And Lord, then we also finally lift up to you those men and women in our armed forces, those who serve in our as our first responders, police and firefighters and paramedics, that you would be with especially Rodney and Victoria and Chris as they are or will soon be deployed, that you would watch over them, guard them and protect them, be with their families as well. Lord, all these things we bring before your ear and before your throne this day, thanking and praising you for binding us together in you. Lord, then remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor, and may he grant all of you his peace now and always. Amen. You may be seated as we sing our final hymn, hymn number 376.